Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuc. This summer, Hudson Valley Shakespeare Festival in Garrison, New York, is presenting three new plays written by three acclaimed theater artists in rotating rep through Labor Day weekend. The plays are The Murder of Roger Ackroyd, adapted from the Agatha Christie novel by Heidi Armbruster, Medea Reversed, adapted from Euripides by Luis Quintero, and By the Queen, inspired by Shakespeare's use of Queen Margaret by Whitney White. I've spoken with each playwright about their inspiration and output. Heidi Armbruster is a theater artist dedicated to creating new work and discovering new approaches to classical theater and literature. Hudson Valley Shakespeare Festival commissioned Heidi to adapt the novel The Murder of Roger Ackroyd by Agatha Christie, which is receiving its world premiere after workshops in its summer development program. Heidi Armbruster, welcome to the Roundtable. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So this play that's being performed at Hudson Valley Shakespeare Festival this summer, The Murder of Roger Ackroyd, is an adaptation by you from an Agatha Christie work, and it was a commission, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not mistaken. It's a commission. How did it come to your plate? How were you approached for this project?
I had written a play about Agatha Christie called Mrs. Christie and her sort of mysterious and infamous 11 missing days in 1926. And that play had its world premiere at Dorset Theater Festival. And Davis had come up to see that show and asked me what I was curious to work on next. And I knew, of course, well, first of all, that Ackroyd had been published by Agatha Christie prior to her disappearance. So that was very much in the zeitgeist and in her world at the time leading up to that, but also that novel was about to come into the public domain. And I thought, wouldn't it be cool to sort of take a crack at making something very theatrical in the vein of some of the work that I had seen at Hudson Valley Shakes.
What is it about Agatha Christie that has drawn your interest in the first place and held it through two projects at least?
I've been a fan since I was a kid. And I remember, you know, sort of hanging my Cabbage Patch Kids from like crocheted yarn over the banisters to kind of enact and videotape with a Betamax camera, sort of my own personal film adaptation of And Then There Were None. So I think it captured my imagination really early on. And then I put them away. Like I had sort of thought, oh, these are for, you know, library basement book clubs and middle school students. And I had read sort of around the Agatha Christie canon, some of the other golden age writers. And then at just a tough time in my life, I picked up Agatha Christie again and found that she was an incredibly reliable and loyal friend. You could kind of pick her up and put her down. She was plot driven. Her characters were interesting. She was accessible. Each of the chapters was kind of the length of a subway ride. And they're great. I mean, definitely some of them are better than others, but they're good stories. And she makes this promise with her readers where if you enter into the world, it will be broken and crack open. But by the end of that 250 pages, or in our case, by the end of your 2 hours in the theater, that world will be brilliantly and beautifully ordered. I think for me, it has been sort of a salve to some of the chaos and the disorder of the life around us, spending some time with these Christie stories and theatrical adaptations, film and TV adaptations has felt like a balm to that.
Picking up Christie as a reader, as an enjoyer of the arts, you must read it a little bit differently when you're actually going to adapt it for a stage piece. How did you approach The Murder of Roger Ackroyd to begin adapting it for the stage?
Oh, that's a great question. And that took place deep in the pandemic in 2020 was the first time that I cracked open the novel with the idea of adapting. And I was stranded on my father's dairy farm in the state of Wisconsin. I had never done an adaptation before. And I really enjoyed the puzzle of it. I mean, Agatha Christie certainly lends herself to adaptation because the content and the form of puzzling together something sort of dovetails really nicely with the puzzle of the novel itself. It, obviously, you know, you can't just set out to read the novel start to finish. I had to make decisions about what characters to keep and which to jettison, what plot lines to sort of bring to the forefront and which to let go of, what text of Christie to sort of land myself in, and what I wanted to kind of parrot as, you know, sort of mimic. There's a good bit of Heidi mimicking the voice of Agatha Christie. And then I think there's also me. I am located in that too, and what it is to kind of push that novel through a 2020 to 2024 lens, what the stories of, you know, what the sort of themes of that 1926 novel really feel like are resonating with me and with a contemporary group of actors and theatrical collaborators in 2024.
The play is directed by Ryan Quinn for Hudson Valley Shakespeare Festival. Were you familiar with Ryan prior to this, his directing your work here?
Yes, we went to undergrad together.
We've known each other for a while.
And we've known each other for a long, long time, but had never worked together as adults, but did do two workshops prior to this production this summer. So we're given an opportunity to feel what it would be like to collaborate. And I think he's done an extraordinary job bringing this play to life and three-dimensionalizing the work. He is, Davis talks about it, like he's sort of crafted a ballet. Like there's a lot of moving pieces, literally moving puzzle pieces in this world. And Ryan has found a way to tell the story and make the humor and the stakes come alive while also creating this really luxurious movement palette.
You mentioned a moment ago that during the pandemic, you were at your father's dairy farm in Wisconsin. Did you grow up on a dairy farm in Wisconsin?
I did. I grew up, well, okay, this is the story. I grew up dairy farm adjacent, but my parents were divorced. And so I lived with my mother in the suburbs. But I did spend a lot of weekends on the farm, yeah, with my dad. And I've actually written, it's funny, I sort of seem to write plays about two things. I write plays about dairy farms and the state of Wisconsin. And I write plays about Mrs. Christie and murder mystery. And I just took my first crack at a Wisconsin murder mystery called Murder Girl. And that's going to be happening this fall. So I'm excited to see what happens when the worlds get combined.
Yeah. How did you find your way to a theatrical and performing life? I know there are arts everywhere. I don't mean to diminish Wisconsin, but how did you find your path from there to New York and the theater?
That's a great question, actually. And whenever I'm given an opportunity to talk to students, I talk a little bit about that. But I went to undergrad at UW-Madison on a Land O'Lakes Butter Scholarship as an agricultural economics and journalist major. Okay. So. And I was definitely on the 5-year plan and was pretty miserable sitting in those lectures, those chemistry and econ lectures, and ultimately did a play. But I had gone to high school right near Madison in Wisconsin and had never met a professional artist. I didn't understand that that was a thing you could do. I sort of, my idea of what it would be to take on an artistic career was feast or famine. Like either you were a starving artist or you were a movie star and there was nothing in between. So often when I'm given a chance to talk to students, I like to say, look, it's possible to be a middle-class working artist, to make your living as a performer and a writer. They do exist. Keep going.
Speaking of being a performer and a writer, how does your performer brain enter or depart when you are writing? Does being a performer, you know, influence how you approach the written word that other performers or yourself will put up?
Definitely. I write characters that I would like to perform on stage. Now, I have never actually done that. I've never been in one of the plays that I've written, but you know, I spend a lot of time sort of saying the lines out loud to myself in front of my computer. And with each of the roles in Aykroyd, there's something zesty that I would like to take on about each of them. And I think I've always just loved reading out loud. Like I was an early reader, an early out loud reader. Just bringing three-dimensional life to written language is just, if you cut me, I bleed words.
The play is The Murder of Roger Aykroyd, adapted from Agatha Christie by our guest, Heidi Armbruster. It's been a delight to speak with you. Congratulations on the work, and thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much.
Heidi Armbruster's new play is The Murder of Roger Aykroyd. It is adapted from the Agatha Christie novel of the same name and is running this month at Hudson Valley Shakespeare Festival in Garrison, New York. The next playwright and actor we welcome to the roundtable is Luis Quintero. Medea Reversed is a novel and exciting hip-hop adaptation of Euripides' Medea, co-conceived and directed by Nathan Winkelstein, and in co-production with Red Bull Theater and Bedlam. Luis Quintero, welcome to the Roundtable. Thank you for joining us.
So happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
I know it's been a minute now, but tell me the seeds of the idea for your adaptation of Medea.
I guess it all starts with, I was always writing raps from the perspective of my characters when I was at Hudson Valley specifically. And it started actually with a play called The River Bride by Marisela Treviño Horta, who's another brilliant playwright. And it was just a way for me to get into succinctly mapping out the arc of the character. And I started doing that as a gift to the theaters I worked at as like an opening night thing or a closing night gift. That started my practice of rapping and writing. And then the shutdown happened and I was doing a recording of McBee for HVSF. And I wrote this diss track style rap from the point of view of Malcolm to McBee saying like, we're going to bring the pain to Dunsinane, all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I sent that out to some people who were some Shakespeare peers and colleagues so they could appreciate it. One in particular, Nathan Winkelstein with Red Bull Theater. He said, Luis, this is fantastic. Have you ever considered doing an adaptation? And I thought, I mean, yeah, but what am I going to do? Am I going to do Romeo and Juliet? I don't know. There seems everybody's doing Romeo and Juliet. I love Romeo and Juliet. But he goes, you should look at the Greeks. And I said, okay, anyone in particular? He says, you should consider Medea. So I looked at this awesome filmed stage production of Medea. I was just so moved by it. And then I started thinking, okay, well, how could I contemporize this? What are the venues that are having a renaissance post-shutdown, right? It's live venues, stand-up comedy. And I was really fascinated by battle rap because it was just stadiums filled with people that were actively engaged and listening hard. And it was all about the delivery of the verse and the point of view and the metaphor all contained within the structure of a rhyme and rhythm. So the flows, the way that you could paint the imagery or control the energy of the crowd was all part of that. And I thought, wow, there's so much in this. And then as I kept going, I looked at the original Greek structure of verse, which is all in hexameter, but it all had rhyming metaphor of the time. So I basically thought, well, I'm going to use the structure and the methodology, typically the recipe, but with all of the new fruits and different kind of vegetables and sauces that we have today.
When you first started looking at Medea to make your adaptation, were there any elements of the story, any particular plot points that you were at first, like, you know, very excited to adapt to put into your words to reverse?
Yeah, I had a lot of questions because I wanted to make sure that any theater could produce this play. So I wanted to strip it down of all necessity, of almost all technological necessity, that you could do this whole thing a cappella if you wanted to as a straight verse play. So a community theater could do it and the RSC could do it if they wanted or whatever. So I was thinking to myself, well, do I include the children? Do I include the nurse? So I thought, I have the idea of having all the violence happening off stage. So then it became, how do I reveal the final tragic act of the play? That was something that was very exciting for me to explore. And as I watched it, I started mapping out a playlist in my head of songs because I immediately thought, well, what is the reason of the music? If there's going to be music, what's the point of it? And I thought, well, I can attribute the music, the electrified, amplified sound to the power of the gods. And since Medea is a deity, she's the only one in the play that while we're telling the play has control of the microphone besides the chorus, which are all basically avenues of her own psyche and her own power. Using that as like in my playground, this is something that I can install. Then I thought, okay, well, what instruments? Simple. Drums or beatbox in our case, bass and guitar. Three instruments. It's tuned, the first song's in E, everything else is in drop D, which is anybody has ever played guitar or bass and wanted to just sound a little bit more like heavy, bro, or whatever, they tune to drop D, and then it's so easy. It's easy to play. It's just a little groovy. So I wanted it to be super approachable for the musicians to play and be very particular about how the notes fit the cadences of the raps within it. And I was listening to inspiration from Evanescence and Rage Against the Machine and KRS-One, Immortal Technique, Biggie Smalls, Styles of Beyond, Limp Bizkit, this kind of n like new metal, System of a Down. All that was like, oh, this is, and the way that the lyrics kind of serve each of those different types of songs, I started to kind of go, okay, I can arc Madea's first song. I'm going to emulate this song from Biggie Smalls because emotionally it seems that that's where it starts. And then Rage Against the Machine is at the climax because, you know, they rock.
This production at Hudson Valley Shakespeare Festival is a world premiere co-production with Red Bull Theater that you mentioned and Bedlam, which I talked to Eric Tucker in the spring and he was incredibly excited. The excitement about this production was palpable. He was so psyched to have found it and found you and be able to work with you all on it. Can you tell me what that means to you to have three theater companies supporting this work that you've created?
Wow. I mean, it's humbling, you know. I'm super grateful for their support and their belief in me, and it's very validating to have that support and to have it being done at theaters. And I just try to really keep myself humble and put one foot in front of the other and just continue to try to do the best work. And I guess let the work speak for itself, you know. But I'm so grateful. I couldn't be more grateful. It's literally living a dream, you know. I remember when I was a kid in Baton Rouge, and I spent a lot of time in solitude, I guess, like not for any bad reason, but it was just like I was off in the woods or I was doing whatever the heck, and like early elementary years. And I just was thinking about this memory of me trying to record myself doing the entirety of Shrek, but from memory, verbatim, on a little like red. It was like a red radio that had a red record thing and a little cassette slot that you could take out and have to put in the cassette and close it and going back and listening through. So I was just thinking about that. And here I am, we're trying to record the album. So when it goes off Broadway, we can have it available. We're actually
Okay,
fundraising
noted.
for that. But I was just thinking, wow, like I guess I've always been kind of doing stuff like this and had an interest in the storytelling through an audio sense, listening through it, which I think, you know, people used to say you go hear a play, right? So I'm kind of trying to take it back to our roots in a way.
Louise, it's been fantastic to speak with you about the work.
That's okay.
Congratulations, break legs, and have a wonderful rest of your summer.
Oh, thank you so much.
Luis Quintero wrote and stars in Madea Reversed at Hudson Valley Shakespeare Festival in Garrison, New York. Finally, this morning, in our trio of energized artists, we welcome Whitney White. Whitney White is a Tony Award nominee and an Obie and Lily Award-winning director, actor, and musician. She's directing the first ever Broadway production of the Jason Robert Brown musical The Last 5 Years this fall. Her play at Hudson Valley Shakespeare Festival is entitled By the Queen. Whitney White, welcome to the roundtable. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I've been really looking forward to this.
The play that we're talking about that's being produced at Hudson Valley Shakespeare Festival this summer is called By the Queen. Give us your playwright overview. What inspired you? How long have you been working on it? What do we need to know to begin to converse about this play?
So, By the Queen takes the question of what does it take to survive? If you're a woman, what does it take to survive? And if you had the chance to sit down and talk to previous versions of yourself, yourself in the past, if you had the opportunity to sit down with them and look back at what got you to where you are now, what would you ask yourself? What lessons might you have for yourself for the next steps in your life? So it takes those two questions about survival and reflecting on one's past and combines them with the arc of the one and only Queen Margaret, who appears across four of Shakespeare's plays. She is epic. She's the ultimate survivor. She's, in fact, one of the only women to survive four Shakespearean plays, and she does not get her head cut off or kill herself at the end of the fourth one, which is Richard III. So it takes this kind of classic trope of survival and lets us contemporary people in the now ask the question, what does it take to survive? What's the good, bad, and ugly of living a full life?
When was your interest first drawn toward Queen Margaret as a character, and how did you know you wanted to work with her to develop this piece?
I think I really got introduced to the classics in a more serious way while I was in the MFA acting program at Brown University, Trinity Rep. And I really attribute a lot of my professors there, Brian McLaney, Brian Murtis, Tom Jones, all of these wonderful people I had for kind of introducing me to the canon of work. And after I graduated from that program in 2018, I tried a workshop, like a one-woman show of Margaret. And I found that it was too cheesy. It was too funny. There's something about her story where she keeps almost dying and coming back, and then she has a lover, and then she has a husband. And it was too much story for one woman. That's what I discovered in 2018. So when you ask me how long I've been working on this, it's been since 2018. And it was too much story for one woman. So it needed to be three women playing one woman. And that's really when the journey of this play started. And then it premiered at Trinity Rep, directed by that same teacher I mentioned, Brian McLaney.
Shauna Cooper directs the show for Hudson Valley Shakespeare Festival. Were you on site for the rehearsal process and working with the director and reworking things as you put it up on its feet for the summer?
I really was. I mean, Hudson Valley Shakes is such a magical place. If you haven't been there and you're listening to this, just go. It doesn't matter what show is up. Of course, come see my show by the Queen, directed by Shauna, but there's something magical about that place under the tent. You really feel like you're a part of the theater, and it feels so elemental, and it feels the way theater is supposed to feel. And you're totally immersed in it. So Hudson Valley Shakes had long time been a place I wanted to work. And then I was very excited to dive in because, nobody's perfect. And anytime you get an opportunity to revisit your work, it's such a gift. And you can really ask yourself, do I really stand by that decision? So Shauna was wonderful to work with. Most of all, the actors in the ensemble are stellar. These actors are in all three plays this season. They are superheroes. They are sweating it out, working so hard up there, excavating these stories. And in By the Queen in particular, I think their very unique talents are showcased extremely well. It's one of the best casts you'll be able to see.
You just said that their talents are showcased particularly well in this piece. How so? Could you expand on that, please?
Yeah, I think the thing that I love about Shakespeare most is like, it forces you to bring all of yourself to the table. You have to be moving and speaking and breathing and channeling that iambic pentameter and letting that language move through your body. And there's dancing and there's singing and there's fighting. It's like the Cirque du Soleil of theater. It's not just mumblecore naturalism. So I think this adaptation demands all of that from these players. So you'll see all of the talents these people have. I mean, some of them are such wonderful movers and they're great at stage combat. You get a very full portrait of what an actor can do in this play because it demands it. You can't do it without.
How have you structured the piece? And did you know at the outset how you would structure it? Did you have to explore and kind of troubleshoot? It's not the right word, but find your creative outlet for the structure of the piece as well.
I love the word troubleshoot. I
Okay,
certainly
good.
did have to troubleshoot, man. I think that, Margaret has a really wild journey, and I knew I wanted to hit every beat of her story. You meet her when she's a teenager, fleeing war, and then she's taking to the English king's court. Then you meet her again, kind of in court. Then you meet her as she's taking a lover. I don't want to give it all away, but I think the troubleshooting came in along with how are we going to contextualize each major story beat of her life in a way that feels contemporary. And I knew I just wanted to work with three women. That was kind of the most important thing to me because I think there's always a beginning, middle, and end to everyone's story. And those are the three Margarets, her at the beginning of her life, her in the middle of her life when she's dealing with her darkest hours, and her at the end when she's kind of rediscovering celebration. So all I knew is I wanted her whole story to be carried, kind of like the Olympics, like the torch would be passed on from woman to woman.
How does this piece fit into the context of the rest of your writing work? I know, of course, there's performing and acting and directing work as well, but how does this piece that you've written fit in the context of the rest of your written work?
I sometimes don't think about context. I just think about what I can't get out of my mind now. And I think a lot of actually all of the other Shakespearean adaptations I'm working on look at stories like Cleopatra or Juliet or Lady Macbeth, and the commonality between those women is they don't survive until the final act, but Margaret does. So I think contextually it fits in with the work because it's following a woman's perspective and a woman's tale of survival. And that's a lot of times what my work is centered around. But what's different about it is a survivor's tale. And I think that's giving me a little optimism right now. So maybe it's leaping the work ahead because of that new contextual element of survival.
By the Queen is running at the Hudson Valley Shakespeare Festival this summer. We are almost out of time, but I would be remiss if I didn't mention while I have you on the line that you are directing the first ever Broadway production of the Jason Robert Brown musical, The Last 5 Years, starring
Yes.
Nick Jonas and Adrienne Warren, an incredible duo to take on those two roles.
Thank
Congratulations,
you.
first of all. And what are you looking forward to in terms of directing that
Oh
piece
my
for Broadway?
goodness. I mean, it's very different than By the Queen, but
It is.
similar insofar as that, the last 5 years was one of the first musicals I ever fell in love with. I'm from Chicago. Seriously, I'm from Chicago, Illinois, and it actually premiered here 25 years ago at a theater called Northlight. And I'll never forget what that production did to the city, what it did to my musical theater program. And it's a musical that's interesting because, like Shakespeare, it has a following. It's been around for 25 years. It's been done in London. It's been done all across the country, and yet never on Broadway. So I think similar to a Shakespeare, you have to honor the history of that. Fans are going to be coming in expecting something. So it's always a question of how do you give people the candy they need, but also deliver an unforgettable, totally new production. So all I can say is it is going to be a version like you've never seen before, but the composer, Jason, is just so brilliant. And I think the music has wonderful lessons and resonances with today. So I think you're going to enjoy it very much. It's going to be a great show.
Whitney White's play By the Queen, again running at Hudson Valley Shakespeare Festival. The Last 5 Years is scheduled to open on Broadway in March of 2025, directed by our guest Whitney White. Whitney, it's been marvelous to meet you and speak with you. Thank you so much for your time and continued success. Stay booked and busy as you wish.
Thank you. This was a wonderful interview. Thanks for your time.
Whitney White's By the Queen runs this month at the Hudson Valley Shakespeare Festival in Garrison, New York. For ticket and showtime information, visit hvshakespeare.org. Links to more information about all of our three featured playwrights, Heidi Armbruster, Luis Quintero, and Whitney White, are posted along with this segment at wamc.org. I'm Sarah LeDuc, and you're listening to The Roundtable.